other. This morning, I'm going to ask Melly and Aurora to come up. Don't worry, I'm not going to interview you. But I do have some things I would like you girls to hand out to everyone, okay? If you could hand those out, one of you go right, one of you go left. And I'm just going to make a few quick announcements as they hand those out. Those are the study guides for the message this morning, which I think are going to be important for everybody to have. So before I get started, I just have a few quick announcements I want to talk about. The first one is I don't want to have you guys come up and embarrass you because I didn't ask you ahead of time, but I was wondering if Stephanie and Chris could stand up. Could you guys just stand up? Everybody say hi, Stephanie and Chris.
Hi, Stephanie and Chris.
Okay, you guys can sit back down. This is our new principal and his wife and their two lovely children. They're next to them as well. I want to encourage you guys to give them a warm welcome and get to know them, pray for them, and love on them. They're here to serve and work. Chris and Stephanie, you guys have come up from Conejo area, correct? Newberry Park. And he has a bit of experience with education. And we're excited to have Chris on board at Valley View and excited to go throughout the school year with some new things in place and passion for God, for prayer, and for Adventist education. So thank you so much for accepting the call. The second person I want to welcome, I looked out and I saw a familiar face this morning, Miss Register.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Did Rob give you off or something?
No.
Okay. Well, it's good to have you back on the Sabbath. I love seeing your face. And I hear good things up at Sunnyville. And I hear good things. I see good things on your Ask a Christian, correct? Yeah. Sorry, YouTube channel that Amy has. So welcome back. There's also this. There's a list in, for those of you that come on the regular here, right, Eddie, you see this list? I think your name's in there. Amen. This is the new nominating committee list for 2019-2022. This is the first reading, so we're not going to do any voting. We're not going to really do any discussing. It's just there for you to look at, to read through. And if you have any questions at all, any concerns at all, I'll be in the back afterwards. You can come up to me and you can say, hey, I got a question about so-and-so or such-and-such, and I will do my very best to answer it and get on it. So please look that over. We have some changes that are happening, as you see in leadership, which are always, typically always a good thing because it means that the baton is being passed and some changes are going to be happening. Amen? There's also some things happening. The elders have been talking for the last, well, several elders meetings about how can we as a church build community more. Oh, I got one amen from Amy. There's a problem. There is a problem with community. You look at me and you smile, but there is. We need to figure out how can we as a church build community more. Right? Because if we just come in and come out every week, we're just marking the box. We're not growing in our faith. We're not growing together. We're not making an impact in our community like God wants us to. And that's the beautiful thing, church family, is that when we allow God to come into our lives and into our hearts and we build that community, it's all about God. It's not our doing. It's Christ in us. And that's the beautiful thing. And so over the next, kind of a heads up, over the next several months, we're going to be introducing a few changes. There's going to be some Sabbath schools that are going to be moving to different locations. There's going to be the worship time is actually going to shift a little bit later. Somebody say amen. It's going to go to 11. We're going to start at 11 pretty soon. Okay, not 10:45. Okay. And we're going to add a class for our young, early teen, and youth. Amen. So we have a lot of changes, and all those changes are built. Every one of them is built around how can we build community better as a church. That's what we're striving for here. That's what we're after. And one more change that's going to be taking place, I have to go ask permission first, though. We're going to be seeing if we can buy a golf cart, and we can park in the Women's Center, and we can have a golf cart chauffeur people up and down. How cool is that? Do you know why? No, not so much for guests. You know why, Larry? Why would we do that?
We're going to have the parking up here for visitors and regular members that have been coming here all the time.
you're kind of getting it. But here's the thing. Come October through typically March, April, our parking lot's full. Totally full. We're going down the hill all the way to Valley View to park. And Barna, which is a church research, thank you, Erica, research foundation, they've done research on this, and they say when a church parking lot is full, the church will not grow. Somebody say mercy. And I brought it up time and time again, and we've never had a solution. So I'm going to the board next month to buy a golf cart, y'all. And we're going to start shipping people up so that we can have more parking. Amen? So these are some changes that are happening so that we can build community. And I'm so excited about that this morning. So with that being said, I think it's time we get into the Bible. How about that? Just open this up here. So as you saw, my wife, thank you, Lacey, for doing that, by the way, and Aurora for leading those songs. That was very moving, very touching, and I appreciated that. And it went along with my theme. My theme this week and for the next several weeks is going to be a theme and series on prayer. And I think, you know, when I was at camp meeting, and I work when I'm at camp meeting a lot. It's not a vacation. People say, how's your vacation at camp meeting? I go, what vacation? I have a walkie-talkie on, and I'm in my golf cart, and I'm fixing electrical outages and problems. They had a telephone pole. A tree fell down on a telephone pole near the Spanish tent, knocked into the Spanish tent, and the telephone wires came, or the power lines came down. They didn't call PG&E. Guess who they called? Pastor Josh. There I was at night on a ladder with security flashing their lights up at me, trying to fix, or I did fix, the power lines, right? Trying not to kill myself, electrocute myself. But that's what I do at camp meeting. I fix power issues. But this camp meeting, I did have the chance to go to a few meetings and listen to quite a few meetings on my radio because they have a radio station broadcasted there. And I'll tell you what, I have never been so moved by how to enhance my prayer life than this camp meeting. It was revolutionary. And so what I want to do is I don't want to have a camp meeting experience and then go, okay, let me go back home and just continue on as normal. No, I want to take what I've learned, take what I've seen, and enhance it. And say, well, prayer and the growth of that prayer at camp meeting was phenomenal. Let's bring that to AG and let's let it linger, right? Let's continue that. And so for the next several weeks, I'm going to be doing a three-part series this week, next week, and I'll skip a week. We have a guest speaker. And then the third week, I'll close. And so every one of these prayers or sermons on prayer is going to be challenging. That's my point. I want these sermons to tug at your heart. And in fact, I hope that one of these sermons might be what you call an anchor sermon. Have you ever had a sermon, or I have a collection of sermons, actually, that I can recall back from when I was in high school till now, that they were anchor sermons. I remember one sermon in particular that was a sermon on faith. And I remember it revolutionized my view of faith, and I'll never forget that sermon and that speaker. And I remember it continually. I believe that one of these sermons could be that for many of us in here. An anchor point, a shift in our prayer life to say, okay, God, I realize that You want to do more in me and through me, and You want to reveal things to me, and You want to lead me in ways that I never thought were possible. And so this series is about that. It's about searching us, breaking us, and leading us. And so with that, I'd like to have us pray right now. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that You do search us, that You are able to break us and remold us. And Father, You're able to lead us. And so, Father, as we get into this series, Lord, I pray that each one of us can be touched by Your heart, that the Holy Spirit would come and make an impact in our heart, in our home, and in our church. And God, I thank You so much for Your presence and Your promises. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You know, so much of what we pray is generic, right? I sat in a worship class a few years ago, And one of the things that the professor brought out was that we pray these prayers, God bless me, keep me safe, right? That's a safe prayer, right? Be with me, that's another safe prayer, right? What else do I have here? Protect me, safe prayer. They're generic prayers, but what if I were to tell you that we ought to be saying prayers that are dangerous? How many of you want to say dangerous prayers? Raise your hands. Okay, that's a third of you. Okay? You know, we're going to turn in the Bibles, if you will, turn with me there, please, to Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. And here, the psalmist David is facing persecution by his enemies, and what they were saying to David was, they were saying, David, you're not as faithful as you think you are. They were accusing David. Have you guys been accused before? Yeah, they were accusing David. You haven't been as faithful as you say you are, David. And so David turns around and writes and says this prayer. And I want to put it on the screen here, and I want to read it first. And then I want you to read it with me. And could I have everybody stand up as we read this? Let's get our blood flowing a little bit, increase our heart rate for just a moment. Let's stand up as we read from Scripture this morning. Now I'm going to read it first, and then you're going to repeat it back after, okay? Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. All right, so everybody together, go ahead. Amen. We all just prayed together right there. All right, you guys may be seated. Thank you. You know, what I've done this morning is I've broken this prayer, the Psalms, into four parts. And I just want to talk about each part briefly. And then I want to challenge, I have a challenge at the end for you about this prayer. The first thing I want to bring out is David says, search my heart. Search my heart. You know, he says it directly in verse 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. For many Christians, they may look at this and say, whoa, 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 whoa. Why does God need to search my heart? He knows my heart. God knows what's in here. Why does he need to search my heart? Because we don't know what's in there. Ouch. We don't know what's in here. Yes, God does, but we don't. And so when we say, God, search my heart, guess what he does? He turns around and he reveals to us what's in here. Somebody say, ouch. Oh, but she has a good heart, you say. Oh, but I have a good heart. Have you heard that before? Oh, yeah. Timothy nailed it on the head because nobody has a good heart. Here's what Jeremiah 17:9 says. Say it with me. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Oh, man. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Ouch. We're liars. I'm a liar. How many of you are liars? Raise your hand. Hold them up. Don't leave them down. Hang on. Leave them up. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to turn to somebody who doesn't have their hand raised. I want you to look at them. And I want to give you permission to say, liar, liar, pants on fire. I'm serious. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. We're all liars, and the greatest person we deceive, the greatest person we deceive is ourselves. Oh, I don't eat that much. I only snack late at night. Right? Oh, I'm not that materialistic. Let me go check my Rolex and check my IRA and my funds. Oh, I don't have an anger problem. I just don't have a lot of patience. Right? Oh, I don't gossip. I just pray for my brothers and sisters that do crazy things. Oh, I don't lust. I just appreciate nice physique. Ouch. Here's the thing. You know, several years ago, I had one of those moments when I was at Southwestern. We had a pastor from the Dallas area come in and gave a short devotional talk on this verse, and I remember it like it was yesterday, because he talked about how when he went into ministry, he was in his first district, and after a year, he had to preach on this verse. And he had to pray this verse. That week, he was studying it. And what God revealed to him was that this pastor, I won't mention his name, was one way at church and something totally different at home. Can you relate to that? In other words, he would act and behave and do things in the confines of his home behind the doors and be one person, but then he'd be somebody else at church. And what God revealed to him is that he was the biggest fake of them all. He says, I go to church, I have my Bible, I preach from the front, I do all these things, and yet I'm not who I say I am. God revealed something to him that he needed to have a change of heart. You know, when you say, search my heart, O God, it's a dangerous prayer. It's a dangerous prayer because God's going to show you things in your heart that aren't right, that aren't pure, that aren't in line with him. Not to be cruel, I want to be clear on this. God doesn't do it to be cruel. He wants to have a deeper intimacy with you, and he wants his Holy Spirit to transform you. That's what he's after. He's after a heart change, a transformation. And it's a dangerous prayer that you need to understand and say, because it's one that can make you so much closer to God. So we don't need to be scared to say that prayer daily. You know, what I appreciate about God is that when we pray that prayer, God is willing and able to not only listen to that prayer, but to start the transformation process. To start the revealing process and start the transformation process in our lives. David prayed, search my heart, O God. And then he prayed essentially, reveal my fears, or my anxious ways, the Bible says. Reveal my fears. What makes you anxious? And I don't mean spiders and snakes. That's not what I'm talking about. But what about, for instance, not getting married, right? That could be one. Maybe you're stuck in a bad marriage and you're scared of that. Maybe it's rejection of failure. Maybe it's a lifestyle change you need to make and you're scared to make that change. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a church ministry that you're not willing to be a part of or step up to do. I don't know what it is that you fear. Maybe it's a lack of faith or health or relationships. But all of us have fears, right? Am I the only one in here that has fears? What I want you to do right now is I want you to, as I was saying that, I'm sure you thought of one thing that you possibly could share with your neighbor. Could you turn to your neighbor and just say the thing that you fear? Just quickly, go ahead. Turn to your neighbor and just say one thing that you fear. Go ahead. Laughter. Okay, now turn to your other neighbor. Turn to your other neighbor and tell that person, so everybody gets the chance here. Okay? Okay? So the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Here is the reality this morning. Are you ready for this? This is going to kind of hit some of us upside the head. Okay? Let's read it together. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. So if I'm scared to death that my marriage isn't going to work, I'm not trusting God with my marriage. If I'm afraid that I'm not going to pay the bills, I'm not trusting God with my provisions. If what you fear the most reveals where you trust God the least. Now what I want to do, because this is an interactive an interactive church service this morning, is I want you to turn to that same person that you just told your fear to, and they told you their fear. And I want you to do in 20 seconds, I want you to pray for that fear that they would give it to God and trust God more. Can you do that? You have 1 minute. Pray for each other's fear that you would trust God more with the thing that you're scared of or fear in your life. Go ahead. All right, spend about a minute now. If you're praying, you should say amen. Okay. You know, I'm going to be a little vulnerable here. I'm going to open my jacket of vulnerability here and tell you something I'm scared of. I'm scared to death at times of failure. Here's the thing, if I succeed, it's often because I'm so driven by the fear of failure. And this week, what I realized was that I don't just fear failing, I fear letting people down. And then I got to the deeper level as I was praying through it this week, and I realized that I have a massive fear of being inadequate. Not being enough, not being good enough, not being righteous enough, not being wise enough, not being whatever enough. And this is my fear. And this is a real issue because in the church and in my role, I can't be driven by fear. I have to be driven by faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. And there are some things that I really believe God wants our church to do. But there's no guarantees that it's always going to work. Often, my fear can keep me from being obedient. I'm telling you more than maybe you want to know this morning, but it's meaningful to me. And as I was praying through that this week, what I really believe God was showing me is that I have to love pleasing Him more than the fear of failing, right? And that was really powerful to me. Because I have to love pleasing Him and being obedient to Him more than I'm afraid of failing. No fear in love. Perfect love casts out what? All fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen? I just dare you to pray that prayer this week. Search my heart, God. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Why does what you fear matter? Well, why it matters is because what you fear the most reveals where you trust God the least. And suddenly, you recognize in this one area that you're not trusting God enough. And as you start to do what I did, you get down to the root of it. And then God's word can speak to the root of the problem, and that can become an anchor moment in your life. Suddenly you say, no, I will take that step of faith. Yes, I will let this thing go. I will stop doing that. I will allow God to transform me here. Amen? And when you pray this, God reveals things to you about yourself that you may not have been willing to acknowledge for years. Ouch. Because the most common lie is the lie that we tell ourselves. It's true. We say, oh, that's an issue for me, but I've got this. I'm fine. It's not that big of a deal. But when we say, search my heart, oh God, reveal my fears, guess what He does? He's there to show up and to show off and to improve us. Amen? The third one is uncover my sins. When's the last time you prayed that one? God, uncover my sins. Number three, this is a difficult one. And this is where David prays. I love the courage that it takes David to pray this prayer. So if there is any offensive way in me, see if there's any offensive way in me. Have you noticed that we tend to accuse others and what we do with ourselves is the same thing? We point the finger. Projection, yes. Right? We excuse ourselves. I just have to do it, we say. Right? It's none of your business. Or judge lest you be judged. Right? It's easy to see everyone else's sins, but it's often hard to see our own sins. And at the root of it, this is a sermon in itself. At the root of it, all I'm going to say is that sin is separation from God. And so when we are saying, God, reveal to me any offensive way in me, we're saying, God, there's something in my heart, there's something in my mind that keeps me separated from you, and I want you to come in, I want you to reveal that to me so that I can have a bond and a closeness with you like I've never had before. You know, I want to give you three questions to ask yourself as you're praying, uncover my sins. And those questions are, what are others trying to tell me, right? So if more than four people are telling you that they love you, right, they say, I love you, maybe you should listen to that because there's something that somebody sees and feels about you that you need to pay attention to. The second thing is, what have I rationalized for some time? What do I use as an excuse or a scapegoat, or I rationalize? What is it? And the third thing is, where am I most defensive? Everybody say defensive. Defensive. I know I can get defensive. Don't ask my wife, okay? But the reality is that we have hang-ups, we have issues that God is willing to come in and transform and change. And when we ask God to uncover our sins and we ask ourselves a few of these questions, it gives us a better perspective on where we're at, kind of the battleground we're in and how we can overcome it. Amen? You know, when you have the courage to pray this prayer, see if there is any offensive way in me, let me make you a promise this morning. God's going to point out some things. God's going to point some things that you've been trying to explain away for some time. God's going to point things that maybe you've even tried to deny. You know, denying the truth does not make the truth false. Submit yourselves to what God is trying to show you, and then do what he's trying to show you. Have the courage, when God shows us something, to bring it to light. Amen? There's different types of confession. The Bible talks about those. We confess to God for forgiveness, and we confess to people for healing. So, Scripture says if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us, right? But we also confess to people, confess your sins to one another, and pray for each other that you might be healed. So it takes two. Confession to God, confession to man. That is why the church, the Bible study hour that we have, the small groups, the fellowship lunches are an absolute vital part of our church. Because it all circles around community. Yes, we're all very different. We have different hobbies, different lifestyles, but there's a common thread in here, and it's Jesus. And the reality is that we all, as I'm talking here this morning, we all have a heart pull, a tug in a wrong direction. But praise the Lord, we can come together here, and we can confess before God, we can confess before each other, and we can have forgiveness, and we can have healing here and now. By the way, if you're sitting here this morning, you're perfect. This is the wrong church for you. Just saying. I don't go down that road. There are some people that do. But this is a place where imperfect people are being transformed by a perfect God. It's beautiful. And it's the place I want to be. And so we all need help, and so we say, search my heart, O God. Reveal my fears. Uncover my sins. My hope is that this will point us to our need for Jesus. This will point us to his grace. And that points us to knowing that our identity is in him, as the song this morning reflected on, and not in what people think. You know, at the end, at the very end of this prayer, David says this, lead me. See, it's only at that point that David has had his heart searched. He's had his fears quenched. And he's uncovered his sins that now he says, okay, God, now continue to lead me. Move me down the path and the road that you best see for me. And when you have the courage to pray this prayer, search me, O God, you have permission to look deep into the depths of my heart. You see, in the early years of faith, or your walk, you kind of get the big things out of the way. We try to deal with that before we get in here, the baptistry. Then you walk with Jesus, and suddenly, it's little things. But here's the thing, listen carefully. You know what? You know what I found? Those little things are often the big things. The little things are often the big things. See, it's often the hard issues that are the biggest things he'll reveal to you. And when he shows them to you, what are you going to do? That's the question. What are we going to do with it? I hope it points us to our need for Jesus. For that realization that we need Christ. Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need your power. Jesus, I need your grace. Jesus, I need your freedom. So for me, Jesus, my identity must be completely in you. 100% in Jesus. Because I refuse to perform for people. I want God to be front and center. You know, when you pray this prayer, I think it helps us put on the perspective that God is in the business of transformation. And it's a continual transformation until we hear those trumpets and we see those clouds and we see those angels. God is in the business of transformation. And that transformation is powerful because it's your testimony. And if you don't share in community, and even those outside the community, how God is transforming it here in your life, then you don't have much to tell. Because our God, our Savior, is in the business of transformation. And each one of us, God wants to transform. You know, I want to close by reading this Psalms together, and then we're gonna sing a song. I'm gonna invite Lacey up here. But let's read this Psalm together one more time. Search me, O God, and know my heart. If I could have everybody stand this morning, we're gonna sing a song in just a moment here. But before we sing, what I'm going to ask you to do, I said I was going to have a challenge for you at the end, right? And what I'm going to ask you to do is for this next week, I'm not going to tell you the rest of the year, just for this next week, could you put a sticky note in your Bible? Could you take the study guide home with you? Could you highlight that verse and could, in the morning when you wake up, before you check your Instagram or you go make your breakfast, could you pray this prayer? Because here's the thing. Praying, as I learned at camp meeting, or was reminded at camp meeting, praying is a two-way conversation. We get to speak, and God gets to answer. And so often, we want to be the speaking portion. We get our horns out, and we speak, and then we go about our day. But here's the thing. When we pray this prayer, the rest of the day, God will speak to you, I promise. He will reveal things to you, I promise. And it's in community that you can come together and be transformed and grow. So what we're going to do now is we're going to sing a song. Lacey, what the song is?
Change My Heart, O God.
Okay. Change My Heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O
Father, that's our prayer this morning, that you would change our hearts. And may we become the people that you see us to be. Father, these are tough, tough prayers to say, because they can reveal things in us that are not pretty. But God, we know that you're an awesome God that can take the dirty things, the wrong things, and transform them. And Father, we recognize that you have this ability. And you love us so much that you just want to reach in and reveal to us those things so that we can have this intimacy like we haven't had before. That we can have not only this intimacy, but our lives can be a testimony of your power and your goodness and your love. And so, Father, as we leave this place, we're all challenged, Father, to repeat the psalm that the psalmist wrote so that we may better know you and better be light in this world. Father, I pray for this today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this Sabbath, I just want to encourage you to encourage one another, to pray with one another, and to have a blessed and holy day.